This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in to the Husker 24/7 Hoopscast. I'm Mike Schaefer, joined by Brian Christopherson, and we are here to talk to you about another 1-1 week that features a Nebraska win at home and an inexplicable, I can't believe they continue to play this poorly, loss on the road. If this sounds somewhat familiar, it's because you've heard a version of this podcast before. Brian, are we just like perpetually in a 1-week Groundhog Day? Is that what this is?
It just depends if it's that one game at home and one's on the road. If that's the case, that's how it goes. They're a different team at PBA, and then when they go away from home, for some reason, they like forget how to rebound completely.
Can't dribble a basketball, can't not turn it over. A lot of problems in Maryland. Let's start with the Maryland game, because that's the one that's most recent. That's the one that's fresh on everyone's brain. They stunk. There's really no other way to phrase it. They did not play well in any phase of that game. Started out hot. I think they're up 15-2. That adds to they're now up to 3 road losses this year with a double-digit lead. This one, a little bit of a misnomer. It came in the first 5 minutes of the game versus, you know, the other two where they had double-digit leads in the second half and still managed to lose to Minnesota and Rutgers. But they're up 15-2 against Maryland, and then they just can't stop turning the ball over. And it was before Maryland even started running a press that didn't even look that particularly difficult to beat. And yet Nebraska's panic meter was just like broken because it was so far into the red. What did you see watching that game on TV? And what did you make of Hoiberg's comments coming out of it? Because he seems like he's sort of as exasperated as everybody else is trying to figure out why this is going so poorly.
Yeah. He seems like he's frustrated. Just in their response mechanism, whenever it starts to get a little bit on the shoulder, you know, when you're off the road a little bit, it just completely goes off. And I did think like the first 8 to 10 minutes watching it, I was like, okay, they're playing with poise against the press early on. It seemed like they had a good plan and they were operating okay. And then there was this middle batch of the first half where you're right. It was just like, here you go, giving it away. It was like simple stuff. And Hoiberg had talked about it the day before the game. Like Maryland is the best, as he calls it, pick six team in the league. Just turning those giveaways into points. And I don't know what it is, but this team in those moments just becomes a little rattled. They do stuff that's nothing like they do at home. In how they care for the basketball. And I mean, they're coming off a game against Ohio State where I think they only turned it over 6 times too. So there had been an encouraging movement on the turnover front. And, you know, they try different guys out with the ball. It's not just one guy, it's 3 or 4 guys, you know, carrying that weight, I guess, of sort of being the point guard setting up the offense at times. And we've talked about it before, Schaefer, but that's where you sometimes wish you had that one stable presence at that position where, I mean, Wisconsin's going to walk in with a guy like that with Chucky Hepburn, where you're just like, that's his spot. He's meant to handle this role. You expect he will. And when Nebraska's in those moments of anxiety, you don't know who that guy necessarily is for the Huskers sometimes. And that makes it difficult to operate when you can't even get in your offense.
Yeah, and then it felt like they just stopped caring. And I know that's not really true, but like the amount of passes that just went directly out of bounds, you had guys who had the ball just go directly through their hands, like they weren't catching it cleanly. I think two different times someone dribbled it off their foot. They're struggling with pressure, and then there's just unforced poor errors of seemingly indifference. And it doesn't make sense because this team has so much that it has to play for, and it's all right in front of them, and they control all of their own sort of destiny, if you will. I can't fully comprehend, you know, and it's a lot of things, right? Like it's not being able to handle any kind of pressure from defense or having a reliable ball handler in those situations. It's the complete and utter inability of people to just put a body on the offensive glass, or well, when for them, it's the defensive glass. Like I don't know about you, but I've seen enough of Nebraska basketball over the last decade where three guys just stand there and try to volleyball tip it to each other instead of anyone putting a body on someone else. And there's no way they're coached that way. It's just very, very confusing. And then on top of all of it, you have, and this is no stranger for anyone that's watched Nebraska basketball, those now 8 to 10 minute stretches where they can barely score, you know, barely even able to put up 4 points. They had 15 points in the first 5 minutes of that game, and they finished with 27 for the rest of the half. Like that's unbelievably poor. They finished with like 54 for the game or something.
51, but they only had 17 made field goals and they had 18 turnovers.
It's inexplicable that when it goes poorly, it's just like it's you know, to borrow a line from one of the greatest sports movies ever made involving Gene Hackman, The Replacements.
Okay.
It's like it's quicksand. You know, that's how Shane Falco described that show. You did not expect that line coming, and you did not expect that movie either. But
Falco had his demons, though. He was trying to get over, was it the Sugar Bowl performance?
Yeah, it was quicksand for him.
Yeah.
Just did him, and then he could never pull out of it. And that's how it feels like it is for Nebraska basketball. It's like just one or two things happen, and all of a sudden everything else just looks terrible. And they look like a team that has no business having as many wins as they do. And yet you also know they're capable of, on any given night, of being able to play with the best teams in college basketball. It's very hard to square all of this up.
Yeah, well, actually the offensive end is probably most frustrating to me, because this is a team that statistically was like averaging more than 78 points per game coming into Saturday, and they're tracking like for higher numbers than they've had in for a long time. Like offensively, but you're right. We're now back to that thing that used to be a common occurrence where it's, oh, there's the drought. And I thought this team until about four games ago was pretty good, Schaefer, about avoiding that. Like way better than Husker teams in the past. But now in three of the last four games, they have suffered from it, where it's been like that 8 minute skid or whatever it is. And it's all over after that point. And obviously we'll get into it with Wisconsin, but if you have even like a 5 or 6 minute stretch like that on Thursday, good luck, you know? So that's the disappointing part to me as much as anything, because this is a good offensive system when it's run well. We've seen it, but there was just nothing fluid about it in that game on Saturday. It was just so choppy. And you know, even in the second half, yeah, it was probably over at halftime, but Nebraska never even made that run, like where you get it down to like 9 or 10 and you're like, okay, who knows? And you get a stop here. It never even got to that point. It was like always at like 15 and beyond. And so it was just like the most boring, like inevitable second half we've seen all season. You know, this is over.
Yeah. And that's coming off of a performance where Rink Mass and CJ Wilcher essentially shot Ohio State out of the city of Lincoln earlier in the week. And again, Nebraska started a little bit slow in that game, but I can't speak for you. I never thought there was a real concern that they weren't going to win that game. And I didn't expect Rink Mass to do what he did, but I didn't think Ohio State was good enough to beat them on Nebraska's home court. And I thought Nebraska would eventually start playing well, and they did. And they ran them out of the gym effectively. And again, it's hard to know what to take from some of this, because they have coming up here a week where you've got, Wisconsin on Thursday at home. And then I believe you have to turn around and go to Champaign pretty quickly on Super Bowl Sunday. Is that right? Is that how it lays out this week?
Well, bye week Sunday.
Bye week Sunday.
But yeah, that's it.
Pro Bowl Sunday. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Pro Bowl Sunday. Flag football.
CJ Ham really shows his worth.
That's, how many Vikings are, and we won't get into that. they do play Illinois.
The Lions are eligible though.
Yeah. They felt the pain we felt.
Yeah.
Join the club. That's how I feel, you know. But anyway, that's tough, the schedule. Yeah. And then at Northwestern after that, who's going to want payback and is, by the way, like fourth in the league right now. So this is a stretch in the schedule I was always worried about, this four-game stretch. And it's Maryland, to me, actually seemed like almost the most gettable of them all before it began.
Absolutely.
And that one's gone. And I remember this got posted on our message board, and one of our posters or astute posters said, if they're 6-7 after this stretch, they'll have done okay. They'll have done all right, is basically what they're saying. And I agree. And that sounds really defeatist, but Schaefer, if they win one of these next three, it'd be really help if it were one of the next two. Honestly, like, and you had that quad one win to go also as a pelt on the wall. But if they're 6-7, there's going to be a lot of like, they're the same old, you know, but they're in position those last seven games with the way the schedule starts to make a run. I was really worried and remain so about it falling off a cliff and then being like 5-8 and on this like four game skid or whatever. And it's not like you can't get it back, maybe. But I do feel like they need to do something really special and big again and win one of these next couple somehow, some way. Wisconsin's the best opportunity to me because it's at PBA and Nebraska's a different team at PBA. And I think Wisconsin is maybe a Final Four Elite Eight team right now. I actually think that they're getting good play from every position on the floor. It's not just Wall or Chucky or, you know, if Klesmet's good. Last time Nebraska played him, Connor Asijan pops in and he plays like 7 minutes a game for him right now. And he had 12 points. They're just like a 7 or 8 deep with guys who can shoot it, and very worrisome team right now. So Nebraska's got to have, they've got to have that same stuff they had in the first 2 to 3 minutes against Purdue. Mike, when you sense like guys were on the floor and you're like, I don't know how this is going to go, but I know they're sure as heck going to fight all game, and the crowd knew it, and they could tell early on that was the way it was going to be. They got behind them. They fed off each other, and that has to happen in that first 4 to 5 minutes of this game where you tell the crowd, come along for the ride. We're going to play hard. We're going to give you the kind of game you're hoping for, and we'll see how it turns out, but we're going to play that way.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting that this is the sort of pivotal game of the stretch, because you can make an argument that of all of the sort of good Big Ten basketball teams that Nebraska plays in, year out, Wisconsin is always kind of the one where the game is always good at Pinnacle Bank Arena. Very rarely has Wisconsin come in here and just pulled away from Nebraska. Now, sometimes that's just the style and makeup of the team, and you could be like, okay, well, Mike, they're a lot better this year. I mean, No Sit Sunday was against a team that I believe played for the national championship. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's not – as good as Wisconsin is, then there's no reason Nebraska can't play in that game. I thought they had an opportunity, Brian, when they went on the road in Madison. I thought they were going to be able to hang in that game. And that was before I was completely convinced they were incapable of playing on the road. And part of it is I think Nebraska can play in different styles of games at times. They just can't play in different venues. So if, you know, they're able to show up against Wisconsin, I think we're looking at another close game. I think we're looking at, you know, last year's was an overtime. These teams have played in overtime several times. Pinnacle Bank games have been close, have been good throughout the course of this series. And I expect that again on Thursday. And I really think this is the sort of game where, you know, if you're any kind of competitor, and we know that if they have them over there on that team, like Keisei Tominaga's really got to kind of show up here. Like, this is where you could use 2022 February Keisei Tominaga, you know, ripping the nets, putting up a 27-point performance. And he's going to have to be able to get open enough to shoot, and to do that, Nebraska's going to have to play enough defense where they can turn it into some transition offense. CJ Wilcher's been really good as of late, if he can continue playing how he has. But the X factor in all of this is going to be, what version of Rink Mass do you get? Because he hasn't, you know, he had that big performance against Ohio State, and that's such an outlier compared to how he played against Maryland and Northwestern, Rutgers. He's really, really struggled. And you know as well as I do, Rick Mass set the tone for that Purdue game. It was in that first, you know, 4-minute stretch, and he had that quote about how he knew he had annoyed Edie in there, and he knew that he was in his head, and he knew that he was going to be able to play with him all game long. You need that version of Rick Mass, not the guy who seems so tepid to touch a ball when it's a loose ball on the court because he doesn't know if it's off Nebraska or if it's off the other team, and he continually doesn't seem like he's that guy that he was earlier this month. I don't know what's happened, but psychologically, this team has been able to bounce back every time they've had sort of a crushing road loss. They've never needed it more than coming in on Thursday. And I think they have an opportunity against a Wisconsin team here that, I mean, if you add this to the other pelts that you already have, I mean, it is a huge, huge win that affords you the ability to potentially lose to both teams, Illinois and Northwestern, and still have a great resume with the back end of that schedule, yeah, where you can hopefully start stacking some wins.
Nebraska's one win away Thursday from one of the most, maybe the most fascinating resume you could throw up on a board, you know, cause it'd be like, I mean, they would have wins over two teams that like most people just can't beat. Like they really would. Like it would be really impressive. And yet there's this winless deal going on the road and this narrative around it and everything. And if only they had just hung on to one of those stinking games against
Rutgers or Minnesota, pick one.
Just take one of them at this point, and you'd be like, we're not talking about a winless thing. That's not in the air. And the resume would be better. It would help out a lot, but it's not there. And so, yeah, you have to say Saturday's gone. What happened. This game isn't on the road, so everybody can talk about that as they want. We just got to focus on locking in. And five guys got to crash the boards, too. I would add that. Like, this has to be a game where we can look at the bigs and say, hey, you got to do your job rebounding. But the guards got to come in and collect some trash, too, like in this game. Like, they got to be ready to clean up, and everybody's got to get after it. Bryce Williams has to be big. He's got to be like Chucky Hepburn in the last game. Was in complete control and played how he wanted to play against Nebraska in the 88-72 game. It was just at his tempo, however they wanted to operate on offense, they did. And they've got to disrupt him a bit. He's not an easy guy to get frazzled, but they've got to try. Bryce has been good as an on-ball 6-7 defender on some of those guys. Like, he did a great job with Sam Hoiberg on Boo Booey. They actually did a good job on Jameer Young on Saturday. Like, they actually kind of held him down, but everybody else went off in Maryland. So if they could make Chucky uncomfortable, turn it over a couple times, that'd be important. But got to have five guys committed to rebound like nobody's business in this game.
Yeah, it's got to be one of those games where at the end of it, you need to feel like you just gave everything you had. I mean, there's no other way I think they can win this game. And I don't, you know, they blew out Indiana, but they blew out Purdue as well. They blew out Ohio. They blew out all these teams at home. And I don't think you're going to be able to do that against Wisconsin. If Nebraska wins, I think it's going to have to be a grind it out. I think they're going to have to, you know, withstand their own sort of mistakes and their own kind of scoring drought in the second half to be able to hold on to get this kind of win. And it's a bit of a war of attrition. You know, it's going to take everything they have, and it's almost okay to me if they leave it all on the court and walk away with a win on Thursday. And, you know, if they have nothing left in the tank when they got to go to Champaign on Sunday, I would take that one for one literally every single time, because it's that important to get this win, because it really feels like they have to hold serve at home. And this is the last truly big challenge facing them. And if they can do it, the momentum lift will be.
It was a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball. And baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Will be enormous. Real quickly, just some news and notes. Blaise Cada, Juwan Gary, you haven't talked to Hoiberg yet. That's coming later today. But just sort of where do you think these things are at with a couple guys that Nebraska certainly could use right now?
By the time this is up, and that's not a slight on you, there should be something within the hour on like what Hoiberg has to say on updates on guys, because he's supposed to talk this morning, on Wednesday morning, with Juwan Gary. I'll just phrase it like this. He's out until we hear otherwise. That's the way I look at it. I'm not exactly holding my breath on that one. And that's too bad. He's the junkyard dog, and they're a team that needs that like sort of presence. But I'm not counting that he's going to be out there against Wisconsin. We'll see though what Hoiberg says. Blaise Cada is a deal where it just feels like it's still a little far away. Maybe he pops in and can give you a few minutes like at the middle to end of February. But the last couple times we've met with Fred, it's been a pretty quick answer if he's still not there yet. And it just doesn't seem like we did see him doing some drills a couple weeks ago. And I thought it's going to take some more time. It didn't look like he was to that point. He's an emergency guy right now. Like he's basically, if they're in a situation like they were at Rutgers, where it's like there's 50 seconds left, someone's at the free throw line and you need a board and you could put him in there to try to get the board and he doesn't have to really run up and down. That's like his role, I think, until it's said otherwise on that one. That's too bad, because it'd be nice if he had got or were healthy about now and you could steal like 7 to 8 minutes from him. But I don't think that's on the charts the next couple of weeks at least.
All right. Let's finish up with the game of guess the random Husker Hooper,
which I never get.
I'm going to give you one that I don't love your chances for it.
All right. Well, let's just say, give me a couple clues. And if it feels like it's just not in the, you can see like the hamster wheel spinning and you're like, there's nothing up there. Just, you can blurt it out.
This individual transferred in from Georgetown.
Allen Iverson. Dikembe Mutombo was part of the Husker program.
Neither
Alonzo Mourning.
Yes, there you
go. Georgetown.
Georgetown was unbelievably cool to me as a kid when I first started getting into college basketball.
Was it the Iverson Unis? Cool.
Iverson was on the team. They were the coolest college basketball team in the world when you were like 8 years old.
Are you talking about the uniforms they wore when do you think of those uniforms they had? Yeah, when
the all black ones.
No, I think of the gray ones, and they had like kind of a cool design. I can't just even describe it. But people know, if you go look at Allen Iverson in their road Georgetown uniforms, those are the best basketball uniforms I've ever seen in my life. They really are. They're my favorites. Like, I'm not a basketball jersey guy. Couldn't pull it off. But if I were, I think it would be that. I'm struggling to think of a Georgetown guy. Go on with another clue.
Okay. Played center for the 2014-2015 Nebraska team.
It's
he broke his hand during the season and missed a month.
Why don't you just tell me the name of the movie? I was thinking about this game the other day while I was driving and how bad I am at it. And you would think like, oh, if you did the football version of this, I might be better. I don't think so. I think like I've gotten to that point in my life where everything is kind of mush and like with like memories in my brain. And so it's like, unless that person, like you're right in front of me, so I know that you're Mike Schaefer because I can see right now. But if like 3 days from now I'm asked like who, you know, this or that, I'd be like, I can't remember. Anyway, go on.
Was known for his rebounding and block shots. He did average.
I know who. I always say this, but I know who it, like, I know, I can't think of his name. I know
this is the hardest one that I have had so far.
But I can actually think of him.
It is as random of a player as you can get. Mm. Like, we've done a lot of guys where people kind of have memories of them. My memories of this guy is he couldn't catch a post pass to save his life. He was a walking turnover every time they threw the ball into him. So they genuinely operated 4-on-5 on offense when he played.
Yeah, I know.
6'9", 260 pounds from, I believe, Africa.
I was pretty excited.
From Nigeria.
This is a response to the guy you're talking about, because Nebraska had a run of guys where it felt like they were just clumsy with the ball, like the bigs. And that's why for a year I was really excited about Eduardo Andre, because I thought like he seemed kind of fluid and like he could handle the ball. So anyway, that's my bet. It's not him, but this guy made me excited about another guy for a year, whoever you're talking about.
All right. You want me to just give you the name? I don't know that you're going to be able to.
Now, what's his best moment, you think?
In the Big Ten tournament, Nebraska was down 16, so he got a lot of time. And he had 10 rebounds and 6 offensive boards in just 11 minutes, helping him close the gap, but ultimately losing to, I believe, Penn State that year.
Okay. What's the name?
Moses Abraham.
Okay, yeah. I do. I remember
him. You can picture him once you hear the name.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of those looks the part guys, and then you watch him play and you're like, yeah.
I actually could picture him without the name, but there it is. That's a tough one.
That is as deep of a cut as we've had. I don't know why
I just wanted to humiliate me some more. Actually, that's less humiliating than it's like somebody who's like Mikey Moore, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I was like, well, we're going to do the thing where they got a transfer from Georgetown and you're going to be like, Isaac Copeland. I'm like, no. And you didn't even say that.
Yeah. Well, you said,
I said 1 year. So that really probably should have helped. So
yeah. Moses Abraham. That's a name from the past. Anyway, it's a fun game. We've not done very. I haven't done very well.
I was terrible last week, so it. Well, one of these times you're just gonna nail it. Like your first guess, it's gonna be fantastic. When the moment happens, we'll have to have sounders or some sort of thing for it, but it'll be great.
Are there any '90s guys? If I gave them, like, do you have a player from the Danny Knee teams that you know like really well, or is that like before your?
I mean, I like, I know all the names, like but it's not as connected to me as, say, 2003 on is really when it's basically just like money for me. Like, if you start giving, he's from Grand Island, I'm going to have Wes Wilkinson right away. If you're like, oh, he broke the basketball hoop during the game, it's Jason DeRusso. Like it's stuff like that.
See, so,
Discussed the fact that we did Corey Sims and his son is a wide receiver recruit for Nebraska?
We have
2025 class. I can't remember.
Yeah, we have. I didn't get that one right either. Actually, I kind of did. We worked to it after you said it was the shot against Kansas, which I'm sorry to bring up again. I mentioned in a story a couple weeks back, Tom Wald, Tom was on the teams in the 90s, and they played a game against Michigan State. It's on YouTube. I always like reference it. I was at it at the Devaney Center. Michigan State was like top 10, I think. Tom Wald gets fouled on a three with like 2 seconds, 1 second left. They're down three. So he has to go to the line and hit all these. And the gym is just like eerily quiet as he's taking each shot. Splash on all three of them to tie it. Then Strickland steals the ball on the inbounds and almost lays up a winner to win it in regulation. They won it overtime. But one of the more memorable Husker games. So I always will drop Tom Wald references, and he gets a kick out of it. So
there you go. Tom Wald. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to get to Tom Wald. Part of it is that we're just like our heyday of getting into it is far enough apart. There's no medium center. So, but that's what makes this game difficult. But we'll continue trying. We'll continue podcasting. It's a home and away version for us when we play the Guess a Random Husker Hooper. So we'll see if Nebraska splits this week.
Do you think they will?
I think they're going to win on Thursday. I don't know why. I just think that they will. I think they keep this going. And then I think they lose to Illinois and Northwestern on the road. And we're back there with they kind of got to start doing something here thing.
They do, but if they win Thursday,
I
can legitimately get myself into the thinking like, okay, if they actually did go 10, let's say they went 10-10 and we have that fun discussion.
Well, they have Michigan on the road in the last game of the year for a Michigan team that by all accounts looks like it's quit already.
I actually thought about that game the other day, though. You would think that, and then I was like, well, what if that's like Jawan?
That's the ultimate gut punch.
It's like Jawan's last game, it's obvious, and they're like, they kind of suck it up for one day, and they shoot like 63% from the field sort of thing. I don't know.
I'll tell you this. I don't think they can get into the tournament if they have to win a game in the Big Ten tournament, because I don't believe in their ability to win in that tournament. I just don't. They couldn't beat Minnesota last year in an absolute need to have it situation. And they could not get it done. And they largely have not won a lot of games in that tournament, except when you completely count them out. And then they ripped off a couple wins in that scenario. But it feels to me, if they're going to make the NCAA tournament, they have to do it through the regular season. Like, I don't believe in their ability to be a bubble team that enhances their resume in the Big Ten tournament. I don't see them being able to do it.
I can't wait for that tournament this year. I wonder too if Nebraska will get a little more traffic up there, especially if they won a game, because it's in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And not that, like, it's been in Chicago before and all that stuff, but it just feels like people would be like, I could get there like in a day, you
5.5 hours.
Yeah.
Easy drive.
Yeah.
Hang a left in Des Moines.
I could see, like, if they won a game, like, people are like, let's get in the car there. You get a few of those, and maybe there's a little commotion, but yeah, we'll get to that when we do.
All right. Let's close this thing out. Everyone check out Brian's coverage of Nebraska basketball at Husker247.com. Plenty of things happening there. The Wisconsin game on Thursday, the Illinois game on Sunday, another podcast for you next week.